tentu ada kata. But still, we are not practicing raga anu. We are practicing vaidya anu. Both are good. Okay. So, yesterday we had an elaborate discussion and a recap also of the 9th and 10th verse commentary elaborately. So, because we have already recapped, we are not going to go into it. This is Vishnu Dutas are glorifying the holy name. After sufficiently confusing the Yamadutas by, you know, outright accusing them of breaching the faith and trust of the dependents, they then start clarifying. So they said that alas, how is it that adharma has touched the assembly of the authorities of dharma, where punishment is unnecessarily being given to such a sinless person as Ajami? The protectors of the citizens are meant to instruct them. They are meant to be endowed with proper character, and they are meant to be equal in happiness and distress. How is it that they have started showing opposite tendencies? Yadyadacharati shreshtas itaras tadihate sayat pramanam kurute lokastadanu vartate. It's, what did you do? Decrease it. Is it? I don't know. It's screeching. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is okay. Hare Krishna. So then they say that how is it that a master in whom the animals have so much trust that they are willing to put their head on the master's lap and sleep, how could that master chop off the head of that animal? So, therefore, how can the compassionate leader who should have the trust of all the prajas give pain to those who have surrendered to him in friendship? You're not feeling at home. Twenty-five is okay? If any time you feel it's cold, that's fine. If most people feel more it's too cold, then I can increase the temperature also, no problem. So then, after speaking in this way without clarifying at all, because there is no, it is quite clear, because already the Yamadutas had mentioned about how many 13 witnesses for the actions of people, one of them being Yamaraj, and Yamaraj has instructed them. So they must be wondering, how come none of these 13 witnesses probably spotted Ajamil performing any atonement? And how come only these Vishnudutas know that actually he has performed all the atonement and he is sinless now? So while they were probably scratching their head, wondering, what are they talking about? Is there, have they come to a different address or something? So he says, Ayam hi krita nirvesho janma koti amhasam api yad vyajahara vivasho nama swastyayanam harehe. This person has performed atonement for the sins of 10 million births, since he has spontaneously chanted the auspicious name of the Lord. Etenaiva hi agonosya kritam syad aganishkritam yada narayanayeti jagada chaturaksharam. When he chanted the four syllables Narayana for the first time, all atonement for the sins were accomplished. And then we practically for the whole day yesterday we spent time understanding this commentary of Srila Vishnu Jagadita Thakur. Stenah surapo mitra druk brahmaha guru talpaga stri raja pitra gohanta ye chapata kino pare sarvesham api agavatam idam eva sunishkritam nama vyaharanam vishnor yatastad vishayamatihi. Okay, so and how this exactly happens and what exactly is the case of Ajamil was described in such detail by Srila Vishnu Jagadita Thakur and summarized by Srila Prabhupada at the end of the chapter in the form of a appendix. So we will not go over this discussion again, but if there are any quick comments, questions based on what we have discussed yesterday, then maybe few minutes we can discuss before we move on to the next verse. If I mean, I am sure you all must have woken up earlier than normal. So if many of you feel tired, then maybe we can change the timings also. So you can all inform either me directly, or if you are finding it difficult to concentrate, then we will change the time. We are not running against time. Because I saw many devotees sort of feeling very tired even during Maharaj's class. So just let me know if you are finding it difficult to concentrate. Okay. Any comments, suggestions, questions before we move on? Yes, Priya Gopesh Prabhu. Actually, here, because there is only one mic and we are also recording, maybe I will only read the purport. Yes.
We had that offense against holy name. If somebody has shraddha of karma,
correct.
But he only gets shraddha by the association. Is that the only
understanding? So does one get the shraddha only by the association? Yes.
So he is not at fault.
Yes. If someone does not have pure devotional faith, is he at fault? The answer could be yes or no. There could be three answers actually. There could be three possibilities. One possibility is the answer is always yes, because the living entity chose to turn his face away from Krishna. From that platform, yes. But forget it. Let us forgive that living entity for that original sin. Now having come here and having become conditioned in this material world, if you say, is a person responsible for not worshipping Krishna, not performing bhakti? The answer could be yes or no. The answer could be no if the person has never received the seed of devotional service. And because one can receive the seed of devotional service only through the association of a devotee, so if the person has never received the association of a devotee, then he can't be held responsible for it. So if someone does not worship Krishna because of never having received the Agyat Sukriti through the association of devotees, then such a person in scriptures, scriptures sympathize with such a person and never criticize such a person. So in Bhagavad Gita also, when Krishna says, Avajananti maam muda manushim tanumashritam. So when a person is thinking that the form of the Lord is material, he is also just like any other human being. If you see Baldev Devotion Vishnu Chakradakur doing the Shabdartha, the meaning of the word Muda, they are telling Muda here means unfortunate. And in the 9th chapter, when a devotee is described as Mahatmanastu Mam Partha Daivim Prakriti Mashrita, the word Mahatma is translated by both of them as being very fortunate. So therefore, because it is only a living entity, because there is no material qualification for receiving the seed of bhakti, therefore the receiver of the seed of bhakti does not get any credit for receiving it. The whole and sole credit of the living entity receiving that seed of bhakti goes to the person who distributes it. Our Muktikesh Prabhu sang wonderfully yesterday, Emona Durmati Samsara Bhitore. So that is the story of every devotee who has received the seed of devotion. Doya Kori More Patita Dekiya Kohilo Amare Giya Ohe Dina Jan Shuno Balo Kata Ullasita Habehiya. So that is the story of all of us actually. So having said that, if someone has not received that seed and therefore is not worshipping Krishna, therefore is acting according to a jnana or knowledge which is contrary to the sambandha jnana established by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, how can you criticize him? So therefore one cannot criticize that person. But having said that, there is a third category. Those who received the seed and because of offenses gave it up, such people are meant to be criticized because they misused their free will, offended the devotees and committed other offenses, offense of sinning on the strength of the holy name, or you know, Shruti Shastra Ninda, or any of these offenses. They voluntarily misuse their free will, having received that rarest of all seeds, the seed of devotional service, pure devotional service. They are the most they are the people who are most condemnable people actually. But those who have never had the opportunity to receive the seed through the association of devotees, they cannot be condemned. Just as a person who cannot be really glorified for, or one can be congratulated, because even for if someone has been very lucky, if someone wins a lottery also people congratulate, and if someone cracks the JEE exam also they congratulate. So in that way, but there is a difference. It's not the same. At least a lottery ticket he spent some money purchasing, and he knew what was going to come. But that's not the case with a devotee receiving the seed of devotion. He has absolutely no idea what's the plot behind this whole meeting, behind this whole you know, this person coming and inviting me for a six session course or whatever. So he has no idea actually. At least the person purchasing the lottery ticket knows what is going to come. He will very eagerly check whether the number is matching or not. Is it okay? Anything else? Yes, Muktakeshwar.
So finally, when someone asks that, Shastra says that even chanting once can destroy the sins of millions of lifetimes.
Yeah.
So the answer is that that once has to be without offense.
Correct.
Then,
yeah. Yeah. That once has to be without offense. Correct. It can be without faith also, but it should be offenseless. Because what? Because this Sanketyam, Parihasyam, Stobam, Helanam all come under the Ashraddha Namabhas only. They are not Shraddha Namabhas. So, but still you can chant without faith and without offenses also. You have no inimical. I mean, some of the offenses may be committed. No, actually not, because you are anyway not thinking about the holy name only. See, I mean, he is not interpreting the holy name. He does not know the glories also. Therefore, he cannot perform arthavad also. He cannot think that the glories are imaginary. He is neither worshipping demigods nor worshipping the Supreme Lord. He has never met a devotee who had to speak of offending him. And Guru, he has never accepted. When will he disobey the orders of the Guru? So, preaching, he has not yet been preached to. When is he going to preach to a faithless person? So therefore, maybe maintaining material attachments is one thing, but that is waived. As we saw, some of the offenses are actually waived depending on the qualification. And anyway, for such a person, he does not get Krishna prem. It just says ashesha agaharam. So that happens. But Krishna prem will come provided he works on the 10th offense also. Because in Harinam Chintamani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the 10th offense indicates an attitude which is directly opposed to the six principles of surrender. The 10th offense of acting on the platform of I and mine with respect to this body is directly opposed to the six principles of surrender. So therefore, the antidote for overcoming the 10th offense, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in Harinam Chintamani, is one should carefully try to culture the six principles of surrender. Anukulyasya sankalpo, pratikulyasya varjanam, rakshatiti vishwaso, goptratve varanam tata, dainyam atmani vedanam, like that. So therefore, the person is completely materially attached. So that is one thing. But that is generally waived. He is not expected to follow it because anyway he is not aspiring for Krishna prem. Like that. Just like, you know, those with mixed devotional service, some of the offenses are waived for them. And those practicing karma yoga, jnana yoga and all, they are clearly doing the 8th offense. So, in fact, more than committing the 8th offense, actually, they are considering the holy name to be secondary because they have accepted the path of karma in which bhakti has very mercifully taken a secondary role. So, this is more than committing the 8th offense. So, but still, they will not get Krishna prem for that. I lost track.
They will not get Krishna
Prem, but they will definitely get what they are aspiring for. Yeah. So like that. Yes. The doubt comes
after reading
Ajamil's section.
That how he got so quickly and as I am seeing it takes time is because of thinking that the chanting of holy name that is clearly mentioned is it removes all mention that it removes all sinful
reactions
but it can begin the bhakti. That's what happened in
And the first devotee association he received was direct Vishnudutas association. That must have been really powerful, you know, Nitya Siddhas. So after that, it must have been. He must have made really fast progress. He practiced for how many years? 12 years, right? In Haridwar. We'll discuss this now.
Arthavad,
yeah. Which is probably slowing our progress. The first time he heard about the name from pure devotees was so powerfully he heard that really, I mean, you can imagine that the Yamadutas were helplessly pulling him away from his body, and they were really very powerful, and the four Vishnudutas came and just, it was a very easily they sort of rescued Ajamil from there. So it was a very powerful, he must have learnt a very powerful lesson, not just with the intensity with which they spoke, but also they were quite pure, they were Nitya Siddhas. So it must have had a very deep impact in Ajamil. Okay. Anartha and Aparad. See, Anartha means unfavorable desires. Desires unfavorable for bhakti. And Aparad is one of the means by which we can accumulate Anarthas. That's why we have four kinds of Anarthas. Aparadotta Anarthas. Bhaktiyottanarthas, then there is Sukrutottanarthas and Dushkrutottanarthas. So, aparadh is one way of accumulating an anartha. So, this is one understanding of anartha as given by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Madhurya Kadambini. But having said that, aparadh mentality in itself is an anartha. This is a different classification. Four kinds of anarthas, where here anarthas are not exactly defined as unfavorable desires as defined by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Madhurya Kadambini. This is a slightly different understanding of anarthas, meaning an obstacle. Okay. So in that case, actually Tattva Vibhrama, Aparad, Asatrishna and Hriday Daurbalyam. This is a different classification where these are like obstacles, where that indicated Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's definition of anartha was an unfavorable desire. And he said unfavorable desires could arise out of these four causes. But this definition of anartha is more like a, not necessarily all are an unfavorable, a desire unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, but it is just like an obstacle, like weakness of heart, which manifests in the form of envy, fault finding, like that, or asat Krishna, where one gets attached to material objects, things, or what else? Aparad itself, the mentality of aparad, committing offenses, is also an obstacle. But the fourth thing, tattva vibrama. So tattva vibrama is not necessarily a desire. Tattva vibrama is incomplete understanding of the shastras, lack of sambandhagyan, sambandhagyan, abhideyagyan, prayojanagyan, everything. That is tattva vibrama. So in this way, two slightly different understandings of what an anartha is given, one by Vishnu Chakra Thakur, another by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Yeah, because aparad is the heaviest of all, because the dushkrutotta anarthas, sukrutotta anarthas, and bhaktiotta anarthas, they get destroyed at the stage of nishta only, purna. And at the stage of ruchi or asakti, they are like atyantiki, with no chance of returning back. But aparad, at the stage of nishta, is actually like bahudesha vartini. Little by little, it starts getting destroyed. At nishta ruchi. At bhava, it is praiki. At the stage of bhava, it is almost gone. At the stage of prema, it is purna. Completely gone. And at the stage of meeting Krishna face to face, then it is atyantiki, with no chance of returning back. Therefore, aparad takes. Yes, our aparad acharya is sitting there. Not aparad acharya, but the expert on the understanding of Vaishnava aparad. Yes. What does your? Yeah. I mean, answer will be in your PPT. So, reaction is gone at the stage of purna. Even the last trace of mentality is also gone at the stage of atyantiki. See, we are not talking about reactions. When it comes to aparad, we are talking about reactions. When we are talking about dushkrutotta, sukrutotta, and aparadotta, sorry, and bhaktiotta, we are only talking about desires. Correct? So, the problem, because the karmic reactions are not there for a devotee. So those three, we are actually talking about purely desires only. So therefore, when we are talking about their purna, atyantiki, and all, we are talking about the desire gone completely. And when we are talking about aparad, we are talking about the reactions also, which means inability to progress further, inability to experience the symptoms of prema at the highest stage, and even inability to progress from anishtita bhajana kriya to nishta, and nishta to ruchi, like that. It is from Madhurya Kadambini. Ekadesha Vartini, Bahudesha Vartini, Praiki, Purna, Atyantiki. Okay.
Chanting like without offenses is like when one doesn't come into offenses and then
chanting.
Chanting? he chanted without offering, that means he was not knowing and he was not fitting in the Tajamina, because he had not got that means that seed of bhakti. So as of like, when can we say that we are also kind of chanting, we are also without offenseless chanting?
Oh, offenseless chanting means tadashmasaram hridayam batedam nagrihyamane harinamadeye na vikriyetata yada vikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harsha. So that is the symptom. So therefore he says one should not say I have never committed an offense, or I am not committing offense. If that was true, then when you would chant the holy name, nayanam galada shrudaraya vadanam gadgada ruddaya gira, those symptoms will manifest. If it is not manifesting, means still our offenses are not gone.
Can we say then sins are also not completely removed?
Can we say that sins are also not completely removed? Reactions may be there, but not in the form of karma, because that is gone the moment you develop Shraddha. From that point on, the person itastad vishayamatihi, Krishna thinks he is mine, you know, it is my responsibility now, like that he thinks. Samarpan Goprabhu. Samarpan Goprabhu is Shravanam Acharya. Wherever Krishna Katha is there, he is there. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Katha. Yes, bro. Yes. No problem. Everyone will get benefited. It's not a time bound course anyway.
Most fortunate.
Yes, yes. But just one thing, if your question is something where which we have already extensively discussed, then I will not do it, because we have been discussing it for quite some time. Yes. Which purport?
Same purport which you discussed. Unfortunately, I was
yesterday. Okay.
Which you discussed. One thing that I think, this, so I'm just reading it. This is according to the rule that things are named according to the predominant factor.
Correct.
They are thus not called Vaishnavas.
Correct.
So, my question is that when we say,
I'll just explain that statement, then if you still have that. So, if I give you, he says, from one line of the purport, he read from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, where it says that slide 34, okay. So, in slide 34, which is in front of you in a second, he says, second point. This is according to the rule that things are named according to the predominant factor. Pradhanyena vyapesha bhavanti. They are thus not called Vaishnavas. This is in the context of talking about karma yogis, jnana yogis, ashtanga yogis, where the bhakti element is secondary and not primary. So like I gave the example. If salt by nature is hygroscopic, you know, hygroscopic attracts water. So if you leave it open, it will attract some water, it will become little soggy. So if I show it to you and ask you what it is, you would call it soggy salt, correct? If I take a glass of water and take a spoon of salt, put it inside, mix it and ask you what is it, you will say it is salty water. Even though both are a combination of salt and water, but still one thing you are calling it as salt and another thing you are calling it as water. Why? Because of the predominance. So in one case, water is predominant, so you are calling it water. And in another case, salt is predominant, so you are calling it salt. In the case of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, they cannot strictly be called as Vaishnavas in one sense, because Vaishnavas means who at least predominantly practice Bhakti. That's how it's because of the nature in which the definition is made. If you choose to define Vaishnava as a person in whose spiritual practice at least an element of Bhakti is there, if that is the way you define, then the Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis are all Vaishnavas. That is why when the element of Bhakti is more, then they are called as Karma Mishra Bhakta, Jnana Mishra Bhakta and Yoga Mishra Bhakta. But if it is less, then they are called Bhakti Mishra Karmi only, Bhakti Mishra Jnani only. So whatever element is predominant, that's how they are addressed. So it's because of the nature, the way in which that definition is there. Like yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. See, there are two kinds of mixed devotional service. When Anyabhilashita Shunyam is compromised, that is where the Anyabhilashita Shunyam indicates purity of Prayojan and Jnana Karma Dhyanavritam indicates purity of Abhideya. So in mixed devotional service, sometimes the people may have the right goal to please Krishna, but they may have a messed up understanding of the means to please Krishna. So in that case, they may mix their practice of bhakti with some jnana, karma, etc. So that is jnana, karma, the avrita bhakti, but which is anyabhilashita shunyam. There might be other cases where people have a genuine desire to enjoy bhakti, mukti, siddhi, etc. But they are convinced that the means to attain these goals is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada, Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. So these are also some kind of mixed devotees. So, and generally, people have a mixture of both. Rare cases, they have one and not the other. Pure faith means, yeah, it is used in different contexts also. For example, akama sarvakamova mokshakama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. So there tivra bhakti indicates jnana karmadi anavrita bhakti and not anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. Because if it was anyabhilashita shunya bhakti, then where is sarvakama and mokshakama? How can they fit? Like that. Is it okay?
Offenseless. Is there one more word for helpless also? Can be added or that is not required?
Yeah, of course. Helpless also. Offenseless. Yeah. So ultimately, you can overcome the offenses only if your Sambandha Gyan is very clear. So if your Sambandha Gyan is very clear, you will also helplessly chant, apart from being offenselessly chanting. Okay, so let's move ahead to the 11th verse. So they are still glorifying the potency of the holy name. Nanishkritairuditair brahmavadibis tata vishudhyatyagavan vratadibihi yata harer nama padairudahritais taduttamashloka gunopalambakam. So he says, na yata. A sinful man is not purified. Na yata vishudyati agavan. Agavan is a sinful man. Vishuddhyati means to get purified. Nayata, not to that extent. Nishkritaihi, by abundant atonements. Vratadibhi, or by vows. Who have mentioned these various kinds of atonements? Brahmavadibhi uditaihi. In Manusmriti and other such Dharma Shastras, they mention about various kinds of atonements, austerities like that, vows like that. Brahmavadibhi uditaihi, vratadibhi nishkritaihi, na yata vishuddhyati agavan. A sinful person is not so much purified by any of these things. Tata, to that extent, vishuddhayati, to that extent he is purified. Harehe nama padaihi udahritaihi, by chanting even some portions of the name, not even completely. Tad uttama shloka guna upalambakam, and such a chanting not only does it purifies that person of sins, but it has the potency of producing realization of the Supreme Lord's qualities also. Uttama shloka guna upalambakam. Upalambakam means to make one realize. Okay. So, can you please close your laptops and books? Let's try to at least recollect the word meanings. Okay. Na. Yata. To that extent. Vishuddhyati. Agavan. Sinful person. Agavan. Okay. Nishkritaihi. Nishkritaihi. Huh? Nishkritaihi. Atonements. Okay. Vratadibhi. Vows, etc. Uditaihi. As spoken by Brahmavadibhi. Okay. Brahmavad. Muteshwar, let's see what you have to say.
By Manu.
Not Brahma Samhita. Yeah, that is a Dharma Shastra. Tata, to the extent, Vishuddhyati, purified, Udahritaha. Udahritaha. Spoken. When you speak, what do you speak? Harehe nama padaihi. Even one syllable of the holy name. Portion of. Tad. Tad. That chanting of the holy name in this context. Uttama shloka guna upalambakam. Which produces realization of his guna. His uttama shloka guna. Qualities of the Lord. Okay. So I will not make you memorize it, don't worry. Okay. So basically this verse says, the other processes of atonement are not as potent even in destroying the sinful qualities as much as chanting a part of the holy name to the extent that it is powerful. To that extent, properly executing the atonements are not actually so potent. And not only does it destroy, but it also has the capacity to make one realize Krishna's qualities. Like that. So therefore, chanting the holy name, the purpose is not just anartha nivritti. So, only the jnanis think that the ultimate goal of life is anartha nivritti. But actually, artha pravritti also is actually the main main contribution of chanting the holy name. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. Out of the seven qualities of chanting the holy name, only two describe anarthanavritti actually. First two. Cheto darpana marjanam and bhava maha davagni nirvapanam. Then rest all indicate artha pravritti. Shreya kairava chandrika vitaranam. What is the meaning? We all chant every day morning. Development of service attitude to Krishna and other such auspicious qualities one develops. Vidya vadu jivanam indicates comes to know the Supreme Lord and one's own relationship with respect to the Supreme Lord. How? By chanting the holy name. Okay. Anandambudhi vardhanam. So that is the hladini potency. Not only does one know his relationship with the Supreme Lord through the samvit potency, but one also comes in touch with the hladini potency of the Lord, where he experiences the bliss of that relationship. Anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam purna amrita aswadanam. Not only that, at the stage of prema, it makes you taste that sweetness at every moment. Sarvatma snapanam. In this way, it completely cleanses all the last trace of selfishness and establishes one perfectly in one's relationship with Krishna. Sarvatma snapanam. Yeah, you can say. Yeah, anarthana vritti. Okay. The name is described in two verses as most excellent, even for acting as atonement for all of the greatest sins. Even though that is not the purpose of chanting the holy name, but still, Brahmavadibhihi means Manu and others. Nama Padaihi means just by some indications of the name, such as calling out the name of a son, Sanketyam, like Ajamil. Or it can mean one inflected word indicating the Lord. Like one inflected word, like Hari Bhakti Prabhu was asking, where is Shri? Where is Shri? Then Shri entered. Then I understood, who is this Shri? Okay. was not Shri Vishwambar Prabhu, Shri Rohin. Like that. Inflected means like I call Shiv Shambhar Prabhu as Vishu. Although it is not exactly, you know, a syllable is twisted or turned like that. Or it can mean one inflected word indicating the Lord. In that case, the plural is used to indicate respect. This means that the word may have meaning or not. Just like Kana has no meaning. Is there any meaning to that? Then the name should be chanted, but the mind may be attentive or not. So he is telling, mind, even if it is not attentive, he is not recommending that you be inattentive. Okay. He may be sinful if you want destruction of sinful reactions. Okay. Which is already accomplished. So, tasseva hetoho prayateta kovidoho. So the name should be chanted, but the mind may be attentive or not. He may be sinful without even following karma or other scriptural processes. And not only does the name uproot sin completely, one realizes the Lord's qualities, beauty, powers and sweetness. As we saw, name, the qualification for chanting the holy name is Shraddha. Matlab, in within the realm of bhakti, of course there is no qualification. Anyone can chant Sanketyam Parihasyam also. But we are talking about within the realm of bhakti as a sadhana. Chanting the holy name as a sadhana, the qualification is Shraddha. And what is the qualification for the holy name revealing the form? Nishta. And at the stage of Ruchi, it reveals Guna. And at the stage of Asakti, it reveals Leela. Like that. One realizes the Lord's qualities, beauty, powers and sweetness. Or another meaning is as follows. So one may say, but how can grave sins which are destroyed only by great austerities and vows be destroyed by casual chanting of the name? How is it possible? The name indicates the power of the Lord having great fame. Yad here refers, because the holy name Uttama Shloka Guna Upalambakam. Here Upalambakam means it indicates. Because the holy name indicates the power of the Lord. Therefore, even because one may say, अरे बारह बारह साल का प्रायश्चित करके भी ये पाप नहीं जाता है. आप बोल रहे हैं कि without faith, even if you chant the holy name, it will go away. So he says, यद उत्तम श्लोक गुणोपलंबकम, because the holy name indicates the power of the Supreme Lord. The name removes great sin because it is the name of the most powerful Lord. The name indicates Yad Uttama Shloka Guno. This is a secondary alternative meaning he is giving for the last line. Yad Uttama Shloka Gunopalambakam. One meaning of Yad Uttama Shloka Gunopalambakam means it not only does it destroy sin, but it also helps one realize the qualities of the Lord. Uttama Shloka Guna Upalambakam means it may, Upalambakam here means realize. It makes one realize Uttama Shloka's Guna. The second meaning is that one may say, for a great sin, a great atonement. For a small sin, small atonement. But small holy name, all atonement. How is it possible? So he says, because you know what is the holy name. He says, Yad Uttama Shloka Gunopalambakam. Their guna means power. Upalambakam means indicates. It, because the holy name indicates the power of the Supreme Lord, therefore one holy name can destroy all the sins, like that. The second alternative meaning that he is giving.
Like, it is like all the powers of the Lord are invested in the book and all the
brain. Namna Makari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti, like that. Because in the many Vedic sacrifices, he has invested the power of his karma to attain Swarga and other such things. In the Jnanakandi activities, he has invested the power of Moksha. In the holy name, he has invested the power of He has invested all the powers. Swarga, Moksha, Prema and everything else. Siddhi, with everything one can achieve by chanting the holy name. You want me to increase the temperature? So you can, this has a regulator, this has two types of regulator. One is remote and one is manual. So manual is you can come and sit here. Remote is I can increase. So charging is there. There is a that is also there.
It's okay. Opportunity like this, 5 minutes and then again.
Or you want to do that?
No, I just start to pull.
Okay, you decide. I'm okay. Okay. So, power. Upalambakam is indicates and guna is power. Yes, Samarpan Gopro. See, generally one thing we have to understand is these words have contextual meanings. So that particular Acharya, when he writes, he gives a more specific contextual meaning the way he is looking at it. So what Rupa Goswami meant is explained by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, because Madhurya Kadambini is an explanation of those two verses of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Adav Shraddha Tatastadu Sangata Bhajana Kriyo. So where Rupa Goswami, what he means by using the word anartha in anartha nivritti is indicated by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurya Kadambini, unfavorable desires. But it also can indicate these unfavorable habits, because unfavorable habits are due to unfavorable desires only. They are non-different. And also this this tattva vibhrama, these four kinds of things, aparad and all that, more or less that will also match with that, because that is also gone during the after the anartha nivritti stage when one comes to nishta, at least almost. Because even though, because anartha nivritti does not mean complete anartha nivritti, it means removed to such an extent that one can steadily practice devotional service. So in that sense, whether it is anarthas in the form of unfavorable desires or anarthas in the form of this hridaya daurbalyam and all these things are actually gone to a great extent when one escapes anartha nivritti and gets into the stage of nishta. No, not necessarily. Even when one understands clearly, but still the past vasanas, the force of the past vasanas will always be there. See, one knows lust is wrong, but still the impression of having seen a lusty sight or something will still torment. So, and create some unfavorable desires. So, when tattva vibhrama is not there, when one clearly understands, then manifestation of the desire along with the desire manifests guilt also. So, but when tattva vibhrama is there, when the person is not very clear about the understanding of, because bhakti tattva vibhrama has four types. Sva tattva vibhrama, paratattva vibhrama, bhakti tattva vibhrama, and bhakti pratikula vastu tattva vibhrama also. So if one does not clearly see a particular thing as being pratikul to bhakti, then his indulgence in that may not develop, may not produce guilt, because he is not seeing it as pratikul to bhakti. But when he knows that it is pratikul to bhakti, but still by the force of vasanas he may still indulge in it, but he will feel guilty. Jushamanascha tan kaman dukko darkamscha garhayan. So it leads to that repentance and guilt. like that. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport. He is quoting Srila Vishnajagat Thakur. Srila Vishnajagat Thakur comments that the chanting of the holy name of the Lord has special significance that distinguishes it from Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement for severe, more severe or most severe sinful actions. You remember? He says, Pataka, Mahapataka and Atipataka, he says in one of the purports. There are 20 types of religious scriptures called Dharma Shastras, beginning with the Manu Samhita and Parashara Samhita. But herein it is stressed that although one may become free from the reactions of the most sinful activities by following the religious principles of the scriptures, this cannot promote a sinful man to the stage of loving service to the Lord. What is Prabhupada talking about? What is Prabhupada talking about? Taduttama shloka gunopalambakam. That cannot lead to developing love of Godhead, which means, which also includes revealing the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Because the qualities are revealed for what purpose? To develop love only. On the other hand, chanting the holy name of the Lord even once not only frees one immediately from the reactions of the greatest sins, but also raises one to the platform of rendering loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described as Uttama Shloka because he is famous for his glorious activities. Thus one serves the Lord by remembering his form, his attributes and pastimes. Srila Vishnajagat Thakur explains that this is all possible simply by chanting the Lord's holy name because of the Lord's omnipotence. Second meaning. What cannot be achieved through the performance of Vedic rituals can be easily achieved through the chanting of the Lord's holy name. Why? Yaduttama shloka gunopalambakam. Because the holy name indicates the power of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada in this way explains both the meanings. To chant the holy name and dance in ecstasy is so easy and sublime that one can achieve all the benefits of spiritual life simply by following this process. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to Shri Krishna Sankirtan. The Sankirtan movement we have started offers the best process for becoming purified of all sinful reactions and coming immediately to the platform of spiritual life. Like that. Okay, we'll move on. So we'll continue, right? You're feeling okay? Naikantikam taddikrite pi nishkrite manapunardavati cheda satpate tat karma nirharam avipsatam harer gunanuvadak kalu sattva bhavanah. Tat krite nishkrite api. Nishkrita is atonement. Krite means having performed. Krite nishkrite api. Even after performing atonement, manaha, the mind, punar, again, asatpate davati, runs in the wrong direction. Even after performing the atonement given by Manu. Tat ekantikam karma nirharam abhipsatam. Tat, therefore, ekantikam, complete, karma nirharam, destruction of karma, abhipsatam, those who are desiring, what they should do? Harehe guna anuvadaha. Harehe, belonging to Lord Hari, guna, qualities, vadaha, chanting, anuvadaha, continuous chanting. Khalu is certainly sattva bhavana. Sattva bhavana means the only means of purification. Okay, so he says, tad krite nishkrite api manaha punar asatpate davati. Tat, therefore, ekantikam karma nirharam abhipsatam, those who desire complete destruction of sinful desires. Abhipsatam means those who are desiring. Karma nirharam is destruction of karma. What they should do? Anuvadaha, continuous chanting of what? Harehe guna, the qualities of the Supreme Lord. Khalu, because that certainly sattva bhavana is the only means of complete purification. Okay. So let's try to recollect the word meanings. You can please close your laptops and books. Krite nishkrite api. Even after performing atonements, manaha, punaha, asatpate davati, runs behind material enjoyment, pursues material enjoyment. Tat. Therefore. Okay. You thought it was easy. Ekantikam. Complete. Karma nirharam. Karma nirharam. Karma nirharam. Destruction of sinful desires, sinful reactions. Abhipsatam. Those who are desiring. Anuvadaha. 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 Continuous chanting. Anu is continuous. Harehe guna. Easy. But qualities of the Lord. Khalu. Certainly. Sattva bhavana. Sattva bhavana. The means of purification. Okay. Okay, let's chant this 3 times. Naikantikam taddikrite pi nishkrite mana punardavati cheda satpate tat karma nirharam abhipsatam gate gunanuvada kalu sattva bhavana. Naikantikam taddikrite pi nishkrite mana punardavati cheda satpate tat karma nirharam abhipsatam harer gunanuvada kalu sattva bhavana. Naikantikam taddikrite pi nishkrite mana punardavati cheda satpate tat karma nirharam abhipsatam rinay gunanuvada kalu sattva bhavana. Okay, first line. First line. Okay. Second line. Third line. Tat karma. Hari bol. He has photographic memory. Okay, Muktikesh Prabhu, first 2 lines. Okay, pray Gopesh Prabhu, we'll help you. Nahi Kantikam, he also lost confidence. Okay, anyone? Okay, let's all chant together. Naikantikam taddikrite pi nishkrite manah punardhavati cheda satpate tat karma nirharam abhipsatam harer gunanuvada kalu sattva bhavana naikantikam taddi kritepi nishkrite manah punardhavati cheda satpate tat karma nirharam abhipsatam harer gunanuvada kalu sattva bhavana. Okay, so Srila Vishnajagat Thakur mentions performance of atonement for 12 years is considered inferior to chanting the name. This must be some famous 12 year you know, vrata or something like that. I don't know. Many famous areas in Maharashtra. उसको क्या बोलते हैं मराठी में? 12 वर्ष व्रत. सो अच्छा, माय गॉड, सिंस द माइंड योर सम लाइट इज ऑन इन योर पॉकेट श्री रोहिणनंदन ब्रो, देयर इज सम लाइट इज ऑन इन योर पॉकेट सिंस द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द क्लास यू हैव सीन देन आई डिडंट सी देन आई थॉट इट वाज ऑफ. Since the mind pursues the path of sin after performing atonement, which does not completely purify the mind, for persons desiring complete destruction of karmas, constant chanting of the names and qualities, anu means after hearing them from someone, is the real purification of one's existence, kalu sattva bhavana, because it destroys all desires actually. It's not because. According to Amarakosh, the word anu means after as well as similar. Yeah, after hearing and understanding the glories, then one can chant with faith. And also it has to come from parampara. So, one may say, why do you criticize committing sin again after doing atonements? We can explain that this is similar to being bitten by a snake without any teeth, since it is caused simply by the remaining impressions. आपने जो बोला है ना वही मैं भी बोल रहा हूँ. So after committing atonement, if one commits a sin, it is just like the biting of a snake with broken fangs. आप बोलेंगे तो ठीक है, हम बोलेंगे तो ठीक नहीं है. यू सी डिवोटीज ऑल्सो आफ्टर टेकिंग द होली नेम आर कमिटिंग सिनफुल एक्टिविटीज अगेन. वी ऑल्सो आफ्टर परफॉर्मिंग अटोनमेंट्स आर परफॉर्मिंग सिनफुल एक्टिविटीज अगेन. इफ यू परफॉर्म इट इज लाइक बाइट्स ऑफ अ स्नेक विद ब्रोकन फैंग्स, एंड इफ वी परफॉर्म वी विल गेट सिनफुल रिएक्शंस. सो फॉर अस ऑल्सो इट इज लाइक बाइटिंग ऑफ एन स्नेक विद ब्रोकन फैंग्स. How will you explain?
There is no progress in reducing the inclination. In fact, it becomes more worse. More one commits sin, its tendency.
Oh, that is your assumption, as if you have observed very carefully the life of a karmakandi who progressively after performing atonements become more and more sinfully inclined. That is your assumption.
More one commits sin practically. More his tendency to commit sin practically.
Not necessarily. In that case, how would karmakandis eventually become nishkama karma yogis? Correct. So that argument is not very valid. Anything else? No doubt. No, abhi answer. Yes.
Because still it is under modes. As long as one acts, he have to get reaction. But whereas bhakta he does, he is out of the karma only.
Okay. There is a much more fundamental answer that Vishnajagat Thakur is giving here. Yes.
Because this is a bhakti ignorance, which is the real cause of root cause of the sin. Is addressed because he is now understanding the actual sambandha, moves. That cultivation is
okay.
There.
Correct. Agreed. Yes, Jayadvait Prabhu.
If he desires.
If he desires, then the Lord will arrange. Okay. Vishnu Jagadagur gives a very simple explanation for this. He says, show me the proof. He says, show me some Shastric statement to substantiate. We will show you Shastric statement to substantiate. What is the Shastric statement to substantiate? What is Shastric statement to substantiate?
All the glories of the world.
Huh?
Yen namale or shadopi sadhya
shadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate apichet suduracharo bhajate mam ananya vak shipram bhavati dharmaatma shashvat shantim nigacchati. Itna sab hai. Aapka dikhao kuch. Show some statement. Whether if you are claiming, it must be based on some shastras. So you show. That's what he is saying. You are mistaken. Our explanation of the name is valid because of statements that the name destroys all sins along with desires. It is not simply imagination. How can you make your claim since there are no statements in the scriptures concerning atonement which claim destruction of all desires? And even in the exaggerated claims of karmakanda, one does not hear of decrease of sinful desire. He says, actually, when the holy name is glorified, people think it's an exaggeration, but actually it is an understatement. Because the real glory of the holy name, you cannot understand only actually. So therefore, they have to tell it in a way that you can understand. Like, narak kya hai? Prabhupada said, the newspaper nahi milega. Matlab, it's like an ocean of LSD. Look, is there a comparison actually? So, whenever scriptures glorify the holy name, it is actually an understatement. And Karmakandiya scriptures almost invariably exaggerate. So, here he says, Vishnu Jagadagur says, Dekho, aapka Karmakandiya scriptures to pura exaggeration hai. फिर भी हम एज इट इज उसको एक्सेप्ट कर लेंगे. फिर भी आप दिखाओ आपका कर्मकांड स्क्रिप्चर में कहीं पे दिया है क्या कि ये अटोनमेंट करने से आपका सिनफुल डिजायर जाएगा. सो देयरफॉर ही सेज ए वेरी सिंपल क्वेश्चन, शो मी द शास्त्रिक प्रूफ फॉर दिस. नो प्रूफ. दिस वॉज स्टेटेड प्रीवियसली लाइक दैट. सो श्रील प्रभुपाद राइट्स हियर इन द परपोर्ट. The statements in this verse have been confirmed previously in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridyantastoh Yabhadrani Vidunoti Surat Satam. What is Prabhupada talking about by quoting this verse? Huh? Kalu Sattva Bhavana is one also. Correct. Ekantikam Karma Nirharam also. Same thing. Huh? It is the special mercy of the Supreme Lord that as soon as he knows that one is glorifying his name, fame and attributes, he personally helps cleanse the dirt from one's heart. So many verses. Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhava saroruham dunoti shamalam krishna shalyasyeta sharad swapada moolam bhajata priyasya taktanya bhavasya hari pareshah vikarma yachchotpaditam katanchit dunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. So many verses. Therefore, simply by such glorification, one not only becomes purified but also achieves the results of pious activities. Punya shravana kirtanam. Punya shravana kirtana refers to the process of devotional service. Even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, pastimes or attributes, one is purified simply by hearing or chanting of them. Such purification is called as sattva bhavana. Then Prabhupada says, one's main purpose in life should be to purify his existence and achieve liberation. What is Prabhupada talking about? Sattva Bhavana. Can you recollect some verse which is similar to this? One's main purpose in life should be to purify his existence. What is that? What is the first verse of Rishabhdev's teachings? Nayam deho deha bhajam daloke kashtan karman arhate vidbujami tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhyet. As long as one has a material body, one is understood to be impure. In such an impure material condition, one cannot enjoy a truly blissful life, although everyone seeks it. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam says, Tapo Divyam Putraka. Of course, I saw it before. Yena Sattvam Shuddhyet. One must perform tapasya, austerity, to purify his existence in order to come to the spiritual platform. The tapasya of chanting and glorifying the name, fame and attributes of the Lord is a very easy purifying process by which everyone can be happy. Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of his heart must adopt this process. What is Prabhupada talking about? Ekantikam karma nirharam abhipsatam. Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of his heart must adopt this process. Other processes such as karma, jnana and yoga cannot cleanse the heart absolutely. Okay. Manah punas davati chet asatpate. Yes.
Whether should I chant? Because if I, like, let us say I'm in taxi or like that, or walking from here there. So what should be preferred? Should we chant? Because if I chant, I'm with offense. Inattentive chanting and many thoughts. When we are sure that in this chanting, I'm sure to make an offense to Holy Name. Whereas if I do some other activity, at least I will not commit offense to Holy Name.
See, when my understanding is, at the assigned time when you are expected to chant, at that time you have to be very attentive. But even while doing other things like deity worship, where you have to focus on worshipping the deity, if you are chanting, naturally your attention is not there in the holy name, but your mood is, why should the mouth remain idle? Let it also chant the holy name. So that mood is not an offensive mood. It's not in the act. It is in the intent. You want the mouth also to engage in chanting the holy name, even though the focus is on worshipping the deity in its deity form. So in that way, instead of walking without chanting the holy name, your mood is, let me also chant. So while you have to focus on crossing the road and all that, your attention may not be in the holy name, but it is still better than not chanting the holy name. So it is inattentive, but the purpose is what? What is your purpose? Outside 16 rounds. Outside 16 rounds, yes.
Is then Krishna considered that he is?
Correct.
Otherwise, that mood of whatever I'm utilizing.
But I mean, is that, like, I'm just asking in the sense, inattentive chanting. You're saying the intent is what is.
Oh, what is that? Kaya Shuya Yatatana Namalaiva. What is that verse? Even while eating and sleeping, one should chant the holy name. So while eating and sleeping, not sleeping while chanting, chanting while sleeping. So either way, it will be inattentive only, na? If you are attentively chanting, then how can you sleep? If you are sleeping, then how you can attentively chant? But because of your natural habit, you are chanting even while sleeping. That is perfection. Even though it may be inattentive. But what is the mood? So while you are chanting, while you have decided to chant, at that time if you are inattentive, yes. But if you are doing other things, you want to additionally chant also, that may not be attentive because you have to do the other aspects of the devotional service also properly. Like that. That's my understanding. Yeah. Even in offensive chanting, if our desire is to progress, Krishna helps. Because a sadhaka, before he reaches the namabhas, he is performing aparadnam only. But his ultimate intent Krishna sees. He has decided to serve me. He's little not completely sincere. So not that Krishna will take away the mercy. The mercy will be ye yatamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamiham. And slowly when he gets good association and he gets more inspiration. See, we also know, while sitting in the association of devotees and chanting, quality of chanting how it is, but while we are alone, when we are chanting, we may not be able, unless we are extremely sincere, it is not possible to muster that kind of a attitude and mood and attention to chant actually. So Krishna understands this. So, and the more we, so the fact that we are choosing to stay in the association of devotees in itself indicates our desire to actually overcome offenses while while performing devotional service. So even though currently we are still performing some offenses, but then we have presented our intent by our action that yes, ultimately I want to overcome the offenses. So Krishna looks at that intent and help is there. So even though our current chanting is offensive, not that Krishna will not give any mercy. Like that. Yes. Samarpan
Gopala.
Gunanuvada.
Yeah, it's gunas. The word itself is gunanuvada.
Yeah.
So is it non-different? Mr. Vishnu is asking that they are about chanting. So let us say he is with one devotee and both of them are chanting. They are chanting polygamy. So instead of that, if they discuss about Krishna, is it better than that chanting? Because parasparam kasi. Because guna
see,
is also equivalent to polygamy. Why do you say chanting only?
We don't say. Generally, Rupa Goswami's mention is, he says that whenever a particular limb of devotional service is glorified in Bhagavatam or other such scriptures, be it Hare's Charana Archanam, like that one of the verse comes, which he quotes in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the while describing the limb of Archanam. So, Jiva Goswami comments in that, he says, whenever such mentions are there, one should not think that only Archanam is capable. One should see Archanam as the representative of all the other limbs.
All the nine limbs.
So, therefore, but having said that, in Kali Yuga, Harinam Sankirtan definitely has a special potency. But generally, we don't compare. Scriptures never compare.
Both have same potency, correct.
That's why we never compare. Actually these limbs are complementary. Every limb wants to support the other limb. That's how they function. But we, because we have particular attachment to a particular limb, it's not even an attachment, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, your real attachment, till you reach Nishta, you can't even understand. Because your real attachment is just a push of the mode, actually. He says that the nature of mode of goodness is clarity. Sattvat sanjayate jnanam. So he says, goodness is reached at the stage of Nishta. Tadarajastamo bhava kamalo badayasche. And he says, if till you come to Nishta, you cannot even understand your real taste. Your real spiritual taste, what it is, you can't understand till you reach Nishta. That's when we receive clarity. Till then, generally when we compare with devotees, Harinam Sankirtan Yuga Dharma hai, Ohi Karna Chahiye, and someone else says, Nahi, Bhagavat Shravan or DT worship. Generally when we compare in this way, and generally it is a product of our craving for our unique identity. We want a particular unique identity, distinction. I should be known as a kirtaniya, or I should be known as a, so, and therefore we will always try to establish the superiority of that particular limb while indirectly wanting to present, glorify ourselves actually. But actually if you see, these limbs are extremely complementary to each other. They are not exclusive. If you hear nicely, your desire to chant will increase. And if you do wonderful deity worship, actually I was quoting the other day also, Shivaram Swami Maharaj mentions in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, he says, in this day and age, if ISKCON has to if the role of hearing and chanting has to be established very authoritatively in a particular community, it is impossible without very high standards of deity worship, he says. He says, unless there is very high standards of deity worship, that in such a community, pure chanting and pure hearing cannot happen, he says. Why? Because these are all complementary limbs. They are not competing limbs. Each, when you hear about the holy name, that is why Rajasham Prabhu gives japa talk every day morning. If holy name is the most powerful, then in that 5 minute japa talk period, you can chant one extra round. No? So, why do we, so which means here shravanam is enhancing kirtanam. Archanam enhances kirtanam and shravanam, because every day in and day out, you are serving that personality. Inconceivably, it generates a desire to know about that personality more and glorify that personality more. So therefore, our understanding is, when a particular limb of devotional service is glorified, we should understand that limb here is representing Bhakti Devi. It is a glorification of Bhakti, rather than seeing it as a glorification of a particular limb, and therefore you see only this limb is glorified. It says Harehe Charana Archanam. It does not say Harehe Nama Kirtanam, therefore Archanam is glorious. No, that's not our understanding. Our understanding is Harehe Charana Archanam means actually it is glorifying Hari Bhakti Prabhu. So like that. Yeah. Generally, it need not be always. Yeah. Krishna, correct.
But there in that process of Shravanam is again and again spoken. We can quote 10 verses for this particular limb.
So that's why we have to see.
We have 6.3, this one, and maybe at some other place. But if you see throughout Bhagavatam, it is again and again bombarded to me that Shravanam is the process. So
correct.
That's why I'm asking.
I agreed. Agreed. Shravanam has a special potency of empowering all the other limbs, in the sense that every limb has to be performed with faith. To the extent to which we have faith about that particular limb, to that extent we can, that act itself will be powerful to give a result. And because you develop faith in a particular limb by hearing about it, therefore Shravanam is absolutely an essential limb. In fact, even though we generally do not compare, but still Acharyas do say that of the three, of the nine, Shravanam, Kirtanam and Smaranam are the most important limbs. But having said that, even though 10 times, 20 times it may be mentioned, those mentioned should be understood in line with the explanation of the Acharyas and not just for statistical reasons. It is true that it may be glorified many times, and we are not definitely, who is challenging the importance of Shravanam, the fact that we all are sitting here and doing Shravanam only. So there is no doubt about the potency of that limb. But having said that, we understand, rather than comparing which is better, we have to try to understand how each limb complements the other limb.
Complementary and bhakti limb is clear. One step ahead. We go to Chatushloki. Chatushloki is not Chatushloki. Chatushloki Gita. Machitta Makata Prana. Bodha Yanta Paraspara. And Krishna 11 candles is in Paraspara Anupatana. So this involves Shravan and Gita. So, where very clearly it is said that it is praising to Krishna. So, like that, it is not about we are not here to compare and affinity. But the potency is.
Yeah, we are not.
We are not such important verses. This part is there.
Correct.
This process of.
Yeah, we agree. See, that's why. That's why I mentioned, definitely Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam are definitely established to be amongst the nine limbs. They are established to be the foremost of the nine limbs, these three limbs. That is true. That's why we are sitting and hearing and chanting. Whenever we get extra time, we chant. Or whenever we have association of other devotees, we sit together and chant the holy names or discuss Krishna Katha. Like that. Yes, Mukesh.
You are telling that last two limbs, Atmavigraha and Sakhya, that is for.
Generally, it's not very possible to practice at the level of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Jiva Goswami mentions that even if it is possible, not before Asakti, he says.
So, in that context, can we say that certain limbs we can see that certain limbs have to be given prominence for a particular, if we are guiding someone,
That
he needs this limb right now very prominently, then
yeah.
Like that, so according to his level,
that is also there.
Like that.
That is also there. In that case, especially for beginners, deity worship is very strongly recommended also. Like that, yeah. Okay. So, it's 12:27. Should we pause here? Prasadam is. You told that. Someone told that 12:30 come for the prasadam. So, because they will start. Ekadina Shanti Puri and all will start. See, we have two options. Either go at 12:30 or go at 1 o'clock. Okay. So, 12:30. You go, you will get all the items. 1 o'clock, not all items you may get. So you choose. I am okay. So I'll give you 1 minute to discuss. I'll not judge you for this, don't worry. And someone else will take that plate. So you decide, discuss. I'm okay.
1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just speak with Balbhadranand, bro.
That's
what. Is there some reason? Maybe he spoke with Subal Pran Prabhu and he told, no, no, come at 12:30 or something. Just speak.
Last time there was Maharaj Vyasvaya feast. So we came out of the Vyasvaya, we were told to get up and go and serve. So everybody thought that this guest and they went for
eating.
Prasadam. But actually we were very confident because we are going to serve. But after the meal they said first you should eat and then serve. So it was very
embarrassing.
Embarrassing because everybody was offering their name. They did not attend Guru Puja and all this.
Huh?
We can talk.
Okay. Adi Gopal Babu says. So what time we are coming back? What time we are coming back? Hey, take prasadam, take little rest and come. But let's fix a time.
Two thirty.